Welcome to Recalculating America. Like its award-winning book, Recalculating is dedicated to small business in America and has been named the best small business book in the Independent Press Awards competition. Each Recalculating program is dedicated to helping small business leaders add profits through efficient growth. During every Recalculating program, experts will give listeners useful information about starting or growing their small business. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money. He specializes in helping small business owners make their money work as hard as they do.
Dan Perkins here, your co-host, along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating for Small Business. Our radio program is dedicated to you, helping the small business owners increase their profits. We draw our name from Recalculating, voted the best small business book of 2017 by the Independent Press. In this book, it features contributions of more than 100 presidents, experts, and leaders, all whom offer you ways to grow your small business. Now, here's Don Mazzella.
Dan, we really have a great guest with us today. Dan Blatt is one of the most interesting interviews I think we're going to have in a long time. You and I met with him on another radio program, and we simply had to have him on this one. So I'm not going to say anything more, but turn it over to you. The two Dans, Dan Blatt and Dan Perkins, for what I think will be a really interesting guest appearance.
Well, thank you. Welcome, Dan. I guess we have dueling Dans today.
Hi, Dan, and thank you for having me on your program.
I'd like you to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your company, and your website before we get in, so they can get an understanding of who you are. So go ahead.
Well, I'm a Harvard-educated attorney, and for the last 50 years or so, I have been engaged in a whole variety of services in government at the agency level and writing about it. And I have been writing about the weaknesses of Keynesian economic policy now for 50 years. And I have FutureCast online magazine for the last 20 years, accurately forecasting the bubble mania of the credit crunch and an excellent record of forecasting, which cannot be said for the authoritative economists in government or from the academic community.
So your book is, your website is FutureCast.com?
FutureCast.com. It's a web magazine. I now publish it as a journal from time to time. It's not regular monthly issues anymore.
Okay. So, let's put you in the hot seat right away. So, what is your crystal ball telling you about the direction of the economy and the markets from here?
Well, the basic problem is that we've had 8 or 9 years of interest rate suppression. Now, this may surprise Keynesian economist friends, but interest rates have very important functions in the economy, and when you take that out of the economy, nasty things start to happen. Commercial flows start to get distorted, and of course, leverage rates start going up. The dollar, being the world's reserve currency, increased leverage rates are going up all over the world, including in fragile economies that will be challenged when interest rates start to go up. Emerging market systems have been gorging on dollar-denominated debts since the credit crunch, and I expect that the canaries in the coal mine will appear abroad before trouble appears here in the United States.
That's a great observation, because I think I, as an amateur economist with 43 years of market experience, I think I agree with you. I think the European economy is in much, much dire straits than has been reported. And in many countries, we have negative interest rates on intermediate-term treasury obligations. And yet, the idea that lower interest rates would eventually stimulate the recovery in the economy, that philosophy hasn't worked in Europe. And now we added a whole new dimension that in my 40-some years in the business, and perhaps you might disagree with me, but that's okay. You can inform me. I don't ever remember a time of as much government interference in terms of actually buying government securities in the open market as a monetary policy as is going on literally around the world. Do you know of any other time in history that happened?
No, it's a great experiment, a great Keynesian experiment, and the Keynesians, academic economists, are puffing themselves up, claiming success, ignoring the fact that capitalist economic markets have tremendous recuperative powers, and that there has been some recovery, but it's been very tepid. I'm sure that low interest rates have helped, but I'm also certain that a lot of the credit has to be shared by the regular recuperative capabilities of economic markets.
Dan, we have our program is Recalculating for Small Business. We are the small business advisory on the radio for people who are looking to start small businesses or people who are running small businesses. And everything that I have read for decades says that the mover of growth and expansion in the U.S. economy is driven by small business. That's people, that's organizations with less than 500 people working for them, and a huge percentage of people under 50 own the lion's share of businesses. So I've been saying for the longest period of time is that the past 8 years of this economy, that the Obama administration basically had the economy on its back with its foot on the throat, not cutting off all of its oxygen, but only allowing enough oxygen in to keep the economy alive. And we've had 8 years of really harsh government control, which has, in some respects, I believe, stifled the desire for people to formulate new businesses. Now we have Mr. Trump coming in, who is a capitalist, more so than Mr. Obama, and he believes in free enterprise. Can Trump save us?
Well, that's, I'm glad you asked me, and I'm glad I'm talking to you with your listenership of small business people, because he's been working very hard at it now. We're at the half-year mark on the year, and not quite 6 months of his administration. Mm-hmm. But it's time to start keeping score to determine where's the beef. Maybe your listeners can tell you what impact the deregulation efforts of the Trump administration are having. Are they noticeable to them? What more do they think has to be done? Are their trade associations keeping track? It's time to keep score, because as interest rates rise, and they're going to rise very slowly, so this time, as interest rates rise, they will stress, they will challenge all of the distortions that have grown in the economy during the interest rate suppression period. And only an economy that's flexible and strong will be able to get through this period without untoward impacts. So your listeners, those who are keeping score on what's happening to them and what's important to their businesses and their trade associations, might be able to tell you how things are going. And from time to time, they should be questioned about that.
Well, we have on our weekly, we have two shows a week, and each are original shows. We have guests on both shows. And in many cases, we are talking to those guests who are either running a business or provided by legal, whatever. And I can say, if I'm wrong, what we have noticed in the last 4 to 5 months is a huge uptick in the positive outlook of small business people. I mean, we had a guy not too long ago who said for the last 8 years he was hanging on by his fingernails because nobody was doing anything. Nobody could figure out what the policy was going to be, what the regulations were going to be. The government was in chaos and interfering. And yet he now sees four businesses as people interested and believe there is an opportunity to create small business. So it's anecdotal, but what we're hearing on a regular basis from many, many different segments of our economy, that the small business person is coming back interested in starting or acquiring businesses. So the whole psychology of the opportunity in America has changed dramatically with Mr. Trump coming in, even with the things that he's done. I think that the power of the presidency is the psychological power, not the economic power.
I agree with that, but by this time maybe we can start getting some details as well to provide a basis for the psychological, you know, eventually there has to be some beef there. Where's the beef? And we have to see burdens, regulatory burdens lightened, actual evaluations of that. And you're in a much better position than I am to get details of that.
Donna, do you want to ask a question?
Well, I want to jump in and ask, is your feeling, Dan, that the economy will improve over the remainder of this year and into next year?
I don't see trouble starting from this cause. There could be other things occurring, of course, but from this cause until interest rates, the federal government's, the Federal Reserve's interest rates go substantially north of 3%. It shouldn't happen, although there might be trouble, as I say, abroad before then.
Dan, for our listeners, 3% on what kind of what interest rate?
Well, the discount rate, the federal funds rate, all the other interest rates go. That's a good point. Because you got to watch the bond market. The long-term rates are probably more important to the economy, the larger economy, than the discount rate is. There could be some volatility in the bond market. There already has been tremendous volatility in the exchange markets, the monetary exchange markets, the dollar-euro exchange rate has vacillated about 20% 8 times in the 8 or 9 years since the credit crunch. And I'd like to know if somebody has a business in international markets, how they develop a business plan when the money is bouncing around, you can hedge, but when the money is bouncing around that fast, even hedging becomes difficult.
Dan Blatt, let me ask you the question. Being a little bit of an historian, looking at Great Britain at the beginning of the 19th century, where 3% interest rate was considered outrageous, and yet it sparked a major revolution in industrialization. Somebody recently compared that to what's happened on the internet, but which in England created instant new class of millionaires, and here in the United States has created billionaires, but which essentially fundamentally changing how people do things. Do you see another revolution coming in terms of some other technological product or service, which will also spur growth in the 21st century?
the pace of change is accelerating. There's a lot of hype about it, but it's based on reality to a large extent. Change is coming quicker and quicker as the decades roll by, and people have to be alert to the opportunities and the threats to their current businesses day to day and year to year, because they're constantly coming down the pipe, and there will be opportunities that the people have. And if you miss one, don't worry about it. There are 10 more coming down the pipe, and each businessman, you know, that's the advantage of the market over the authoritative people who sit in their offices and ruminate on where the economy is going and where are the new jobs. In the market, there are many business people and investors who can see what's happening right in front of them and start taking advantage of the opportunities that arise that people in the academic community or in Washington have no clue about. So the jobs will be there and the opportunities will be there and the threats will be there, and people have to stay alert to the pace of change.
Dan, we have to take a break right now for just a minute to hear from one of our sponsors, and then we'll be right back with Dan Blatt.
Life. It's made up of the simple day-to-day moments that keep us all running on full of joy, passion, and restlessness. It's singing full on to your car radio with the windows wide open. It's a whole bunch of early morning rush hours and a few late night runs for Rocky Road. It's full of pit stops and drive-thrus. It's life, and we live it between fill-ups at Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
Dan Perkins here for Recalculating.biz with your small business tip of the day. People are concerned about the massive hack to computer systems that took place in over 150 nations just a few weeks ago. Were you protected? So here's the tip of the day. Close the windows and doors in your computer. If the windows and doors are locked, the bad guys can't get in. And the best way to lock the windows and doors in your computer is to turn it off when you're done for the day. If you leave the computer on 24/7, bad guys can attack you when you are asleep or away. You lock the doors and windows of your home when you leave home, don't you? So lock the doors and windows of your computer. If you have employees, make sure they turn off their computers when they leave for the day. Make sure you set your computers to automatic download for system updates. That way you will always have the most recent operating system. Just turn off the computers and you'll have a new title, the head of cybersecurity for your business. Go to recalculating.biz for more helpful tips. This has been Dan Perkins with your Recalculating Small Business Tip of the Day.
Recalculating, designed to help you be successful.
We're back with Dan Blatt. He's absolutely a fascinating. I don't know whether to call him economist, futurist, whatever. But every time I listen to him, I don't know about you, Dan Perkins, but I'm just fascinated by what he says. But can I jump in and ask a question? The revolution in electrical or battery-powered cars seems to have overtaken our auto industry, in fact, every industry. If that seems to be a radical change, where we're going to see changes. Do you have any comments on that, Dan?
Well, the technological advance has been stunning, no question. But I still think we're a little bit short of that revolution sweeping over everything. Right now, it's highly dependent on government subsidies of one type or another. So, it's promising, and it's coming on with a rush. But right now, I think it's a very small percentage of the economy, and it's likely to stay that way until the next, especially in battery capacity, until the next turn of the technological wheel there. I think it's going to be something to be remarked upon more than to be dominant.
Well, you notice that when Hong Kong removed its subsidy for battery-powered cars, Tesla sales went down to zero just recently.
That's not the only place that that will happen.
Well, Dan Perkins, back to you.
Yeah, I want to follow up on opportunity in the sense of what is different about America versus the rest of the world. Mr. Trump's campaign promise was to make America great again, and we have a very low participation rate in our economy. We have 93-some million people out of the workforce. Some people are saying that we even if Apple brings an iPhone manufacturing plant to the United States, it will not turn the economy. In fact, no one particular manufacturing company or process will make any significant change in the economy. But there are two things that could have significant impact on employment and the economy going forward. They are energy independence, exploiting our energy resources, making us the energy supplier to the world in oil and natural gas and coal. And the second place is the crumbling infrastructure in the United States creates enormous opportunity for employment. So between those two factors, this economy has the potential to not only be the supplier of energy to the world and put millions of people to work, but also build its infrastructure to be world class. What do you think of those people's thoughts?
Infrastructure spending is a category of government spending which has real economic benefits. Building a bridge to Staten Island, I was there when it was built, and I saw how values increased all up and down the Jersey Shore when that bridge started to be built. Of course, unfortunately, the government also builds bridges to nowhere. So you have to evaluate the actual projects. But yes,
right.
When it comes to infrastructure spending, I recognize that this is one place where we need government, and where government should be more active. As for jobs, people don't realize how many are being created every day. Just the other day on radio, they were reporting about the need for these internet companies like Facebook to hire tens of thousands of censors. Usually young college graduates just out of school, to actually go through pages, the tens of millions of posts every day, to make sure that the terrorists aren't using Facebook or some of the other postings to run their affairs. And talk about jobs in large numbers. Yes, the Internet is creating them of necessity. And that's the sort of thing that in Washington or in the academic community, nobody would be aware of. But out in the markets, where people see opportunities and problems right in front of them, they take actions. And the actions cumulated amongst all the participants in the markets are what builds the economy and provides the jobs and deals with the economic problems of the moment.
Would you agree that, or you don't have to, but of the two that we just talked about, energy development of energy resources and the infrastructure, energy resources has not only the ability to put millions of people back to work and make us energy independent, but has a dramatic impact on our national security?
Well, obviously, the problems in the Middle East and in the oil patches outside the country are real, and besides that, it's awfully good as far as our situation with NATO is concerned for Europe to be confident that if Russia started using its oil as a weapon, that the United States could step in and fill the needs. Any increase in efficiency in an industry as important as energy is going to redound to the benefit of the entire economy and for the nation's political and military situation worldwide. So that goes without saying.
But I would say to you that was the most unreported event in the G20 meetings, is that when Mr. Trump said to the European nations and to Poland, many of which depend on 40% to 50% of their natural gas supply from Russia, we are prepared to back you up. We're prepared, if Russia wants to turn off the gas, we'll turn the gas on and bring it to you. And I think that was an extremely important message to the G20 and the NATO nations, that America will provide the energy to keep their houses warm and their people occupied and the factories running. I thought that was extremely important, yet it got practically no play.
Well, the newspapers have been very obsessed with matters of no practical importance. The Trump administration actually very quietly has been going about its business and actually compiling a fairly impressive record of accomplishments during these initial months of its administration, and nobody wants to point it out. The list is starting to get long and impressive.
Right, and you're right. Nobody wants to point it out because they don't want to give him any credit for picking great people to run the various departments and trying to reverse
trend. That's what a business person does. A business person gets the best people he can and puts them in places of authority and gives them general directions and then tells them to go out and do their job. And you can see the difference in the military aspects, too. He's instead of trying to run conflicts from Washington, D.C., where nothing is really known and nothing can get done, he's given the officers on the battlefields the authority to take the actions that are needed to be effective. And the effectiveness of our military operations has increased massively since he has taken it's like the World War I generals who tried to run the battle from 40 miles behind the battlefield. Well, Obama was thousands of miles behind the battlefield and was obsessed with taking tactical decisions on our various points of conflict.
I need to turn this back to Don.
I hate to. Dan Blatt, having listened to you so many times, it's always a pleasure, but unfortunately we've run out of time, and we want to invite you back again sometime in fall to discuss things as we enter the last part of the year and start to think about the new year. Your website again
is,
and how people can reach you?
Yeah, my website is the www.futurecast, that's plural, futurecast.com, and it's got an email button on it, and I do answer my emails.
Thank you so much for being with us, Dan.
Thank you for having me.
At Valero, we believe life gets lived between every fill-up. So whether you go down the road on two wheels or four, whether your Wednesday night is spent racing to the grocery store or down a track, and whether you're dropping off the mail, the pizza, the kids, or all of the above, we're here to make sure you're never running on empty. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
Welcome back to Recalculating, the program dedicated to American small business. Now it's time to bring together our two experts, Dan Perkins and Don Mazzella, as they discuss things that are happening now that are affecting your business success.
Well, Dan, we really have a terrific guest today. Barbara Moran Goodrich is head of the Moran family I'm all choked up because I'm so enthusiastic about her company and what they're doing. So without a further ado, Dan, I'm just going to turn it over to you and Barbara.
Thank you. Good morning, Barbara, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me on. I'm really excited to be able to talk to both of you.
Our pleasure. Now, let's get some details out of the road. We know your name.
Mm-hmm.
We know you own a bunch of different companies, so we want to know how you want to be identified, and do you have a website, and how do our listeners get a hold of you?
Well, okay, so the name of our company, the main company, is Moran Family of Brands, and we're a franchisor. And we franchise Mr. Transmission, Multi-State Transmission, Dr. Nick's Transmission, Milex Car Care. We also have stores in Texas and Oklahoma that are called Altamira Automotive Outfitters. They install window film, the bolt-on accessories, electronics, audio video, as well as safety equipment, GPS systems, sensors. And we can be reached either at moranfamilyofbrands.com, or we could be reached at mrtransmission.com, or mylexcompletecarcare.com, or altamira.com. And we're out of the Chicago, our main office is out of the Chicago area, and I'm just very excited to be able to talk to you about the opportunity that we have been launching out over the past few weeks.
Well, we will put on our website this interview, and I'm going to put you on the spot and say, if we could put one web address next to the interview, which one would you like us to put there?
How about we put moranfamilyofbrands.com?
We'll do that. We'll do that. Super. So when I listen to your name and you say Moran Family, how long has your company been in business?
We began in 1990. Prior to that, we were strictly in the automotive remanufacturing business. And my father and I, he asked me, what do you think of franchising? I said, franchising is great. And he said, well, let's get on a plane and go buy a franchise. And that was in 1990. And I started running the company in 99. And then I ended up buying my parents out in 2010. And we have over 120 locations across the United States. And we actually are working with a master franchisee in Africa and going to be opening up locations in Africa and Nigeria.
So what was it like, Barb? What was it like to sit down with your mom and dad and say, I'm going to buy you out?
Well, you know, it really wasn't very hard. It was a decision that was coming about over a couple of years. And, of course, I did it during the economic crisis, which, you know, most people wouldn't do that, which made it very difficult to get funding. It took me I had funding, and then all of a sudden the bank was seized and taken over, so I had to start all over. And it took me about a year to find a company that would fund the deal, and I started the process in fall of 2008, and we finally were able to have the deal completed by July 1st of 2010. So it took over a year to get the funding because of the economic situation.
Right. Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have three siblings.
And
I have two older brothers.
Do any of them work in the business?
No. No, they do not. I have an older sister. She lives in Europe, so I asked if she wanted to be a partner. She said it wasn't fair to me because she couldn't help and she couldn't be a part of anything. And my brothers, they were not in the automotive business, and it just wasn't. I had been with my father in automotive since 1985.
So did that create any problems when you told your siblings that you're buying the company from mom and dad?
Well, for one, it did. The others were fine with it. My mother at the time said, well, what did you expect? She's been working with your father for 20-some years.
Okay.
And,
so,
yeah.
So it was there was a little tension there. That's one of the challenges of being an entrepreneur in a family-owned business. Sometimes you have to deal with brothers and sisters and moms and dads, and that can get a little hairy at times. When you bought out the business, what was the size of the business? How many people did you have working for you? Where were you at that point in time?
Well, our home office, the home office has about 20 employees. We utilize a lot of technology in order to help support our franchisees across the country. If you're looking at the overall, number of employees across the country, it's, anywhere up to 1,000 employees within the franchise system. So, one of the things that, the reason that I made the decision to approach my parents about buying out their shares was because of the fact of, I was in my 40s at the time, and my parents in their 70s felt they had a different viewpoint of what they were wanting to accomplish at that time. They were ready to pull in on risk, and I was ready to continue to expand on risk. I also felt technology was going to be transitioning greatly, and I felt that we needed to transition, and I felt that we were going to be going into an economic problem at that time, and I was wanting to pull in on the number of people we had and start really reinvesting in the technology aspect to be able to afford to get through what I thought was headed our way. And in the automotive aftermarket, you usually can see the potential of a recession coming before the indicators start showing in the economy. And the reason is because you're repairing people's vehicles. And when they can't afford to have those repairs done, they let the cars sit. So as you are, moving along in business and you see more cars sitting on your lot because more people can't afford the repairs, and then, and they're leaving that one car that broke down and they're using the other car and everybody's carpooling in the family, you start to say, what's going on? So, automotive aftermarket can have that indicator occur first versus other industries.
So right now, looking at your crystal ball and the things that help you guide your business, what are the signals?
Well, first of all, I believe that there will let's talk about first that the automotive outlook for employment. The U.S. Census Bureau and Employment Statistics, they have evaluated that there is going to be an 8% increase in employment need and employment within the automotive repair and maintenance going into 2024. There are going to be the franchise sector, which we are a part of, believes that there is going to continue to be a growth, and in fact they're looking at a growth between 2015 through 2017 of 5.3%. That's with establishment, employment, and GDP. In the automotive aftermarket, there are more vehicles on the road every day. There are more miles driven. Gas prices have stayed pretty low in comparison to where they were 5 years ago, 4 years ago. And so individuals are driving more. Now, yes, we are transitioning much of the industry into hybrids and electronic vehicles and even hydrogen vehicles, and they will still need to be repaired. And in fact, they may have to have more maintenance work done because computers are very finicky. The sensors go out all the time, or one minute they're telling you you're on the road or you're off the road, and those need updates. A lot of things, they're just like your computers that you have either in your company or at your home. You have to do updates. Think about Microsoft. They're updating all the time, and Apple wants to update all the time.
Well, I wanted to ask you one more question, then we'll turn it over to Don before we get to break. In listening to you, as we spoke in the pre-show, our audience are entrepreneurs, people who are either in small businesses or thinking about starting small businesses. And based on what you're talking about, the automotive aftermarket, it would appear, as a novice as I am to what you're talking about, that the opportunity in the automotive aftermarket franchise might be something that some of our listeners might be interested in looking in. So give us a sense, if you can, Barb, what does it cost to get into a franchise, and are there different franchises? I know there are different franchises, but are you seeing growth more in one versus the other? So give us a sense of, I want to get into your business as a franchisee. What's it going to cost me?
Okay, so let's go with, first of all, if you are looking at specifically wanting to go into a Mr. Transmission co-branded Milex, it's going to be about $290,000, and that's going to include all your equipment. It's going to include all the training. It's going to include all of the inventory and location, setup, your signage, everything. It's the whole package. If you're looking at doing something at a lower level, then the Altamir Automotive Outfitters, that's under a $200,000 investment. And that one is where you're going to be working with window film. You'll have, again, the equipment, the inventory. The store is, it's more of a retail store. And so our system, the way it operates, is it's digital in the marketing that occurs within the store. You don't walk into the store and have a whole bunch of shelves of empty boxes of speakers and things like that. That's not what our business is. Our business is about having digital displays that show you and interact with you on your vehicle, your specific vehicle, and what you can do to it and what it would look like if you had certain window film put into there. That's one of the lower level ones. And we also have with that the co-branded, it's called SmartView, which is where you could do residential and commercial window film, security window film, or UV protection window film. That's the one that's under $200,000. The reason that franchising is probably the better aspect of going into in the automotive area is because automotive, as it grows, as it changes, and it's changing quickly, and it's been changing quickly, the technology aspect is a real need that we are able to offer to individuals. We're able to work with technical support hotlines that we have. We're able to help guide you through various concerns you may have, employment aspects as far as, you know, the recruitment aspect. You know, you may not know, is he a good mechanic or technician? How do I know that? We're able to help that, you figure that out. We're able to provide testing and put them through that process so that you know that the person that you're bringing into your business knows what they're doing.
Well, Don.
We have to take a break right now, Dan, to hear from one of our this is a fascinating interview. I'm happy to just sit here and quietly and listen to the two of you. But right now, we do have to take a break for our advertisers, and we'll be right back with Barb Moran Goodrich and the Moran Brands.
Before you hear this, or this, or even this, before you turn a key, step on the gas, and let it rip, before you get up and out and on the road, you have to be fueled by something. Make sure that something is Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
Dan Perkins here from recalculating.biz with your small business tip of the day. Small business funding is easier these days thanks to a new breed of lender called fintech lenders. These internet-based lenders cut the time between applying for funds and getting the funds to just hours instead of months. They also make it easier to repay your loans, but their costs might be a little higher for their service. The next time you need dollars for your small business, try them. you might like to change. I'm Dan Perkins for Recalculating.biz and your small business tip of the day.
Welcome back to Recalculating, the program dedicated to American small business. Now it's time to bring together our two experts, Dan Perkins and Don Mazzella, as they discuss things that are happening now that are affecting your business success.
We're back with Barb Moran Goodridge and the Moran Brands. She's also here to talk about a very unusual program she has for younger people. And without further ado, Barb, tell us a little bit about that.
So this is something that I'm very passionate about. I have, because I've been in the automotive business since 1985, I have always said that if you teach, you create the loyalty and you create the next generation of, your workforce. And so I had started to see that there was what we call, in fact, the automotive aftermarket calls it the tech graying and needing fresh faces. So right now, 55 and up in age, that makes up 38% of the workforce in the automotive technicians. 31% of the workforce is aged 45 to 54. 17% of the workforce is 35 to 44. And 10.8% of the workforce is 25 to 34, and 2% is 18 to 24. Mm. That's scary. We are going to have, as Mike Rowe says, a tsunami effect on the skill gap. It's happening now, and it will get worse, as you can see, based on the ages. We do not have the younger generation going into skill positions. And so I'm very passionate about this because my father never finished school. He was a box cutter at American Can, and he had an opportunity to learn how to be a mechanic from a gentleman named Bill. And because of that, he ended up becoming a mechanic. He then ended up buying his first gas station. He put all his money into it. It was just unbelievable, the hard work he did. And he went from there to body shop, to repair shop, to dealership, and then into remanufacturing, and then to franchising, because he believed in the American dream. And in order to have that, you have to start with a trade. And this industry has such an opportunity. The individuals that work in this industry, that excel in this industry, they make a very good living. They are very well paid. So we have, what we're doing is an internship program, 2 points to it. The first one is where if you're in high school and you're really not sure what you want to do, we'll have you come into one of our facilities, and you can work there. You can learn. You can observe, see what everyone's doing. You can decide, is this what I want? And, maybe it's not. If it is what you want, then we're going to connect you up with what is called Tech Force Foundation, which is a nonprofit foundation that will help to get you scholarships in the vocational area. Then we have another opportunity, which is if you are or you've made the decision you want to be in automotive repair and you're in vocational school, you're in the middle of it, you're at the end of it, or you've just graduated from it, you can come to work in one of our facilities and we're going to teach you to go to the next level. Because many of these individuals, when they come out, they're still too green to be at a level where they're actually doing some really significant repairs. And they want to be able to move up. They don't want to be changing oil all the time and brakes. They want to go to the next level. So we're wanting to have them come and do an internship with us. It's basically like an apprenticeship program. They would be getting paid. And it would be at one of the facilities that is participating in the program. We have just launched it out 2 weeks ago, and we've had many franchisees signing up for it, and we're getting them listed within our websites. And then we're also going to put in the careers section, we're going to put in there videos from our franchisees that have started out sweeping floors and went from sweeping floors to being a mechanic to owning their own business and what it's done for them and their lives. And we want to try to get the next generation, the young kids, to see there is so much opportunity in the automotive aftermarket, and to become a technician is a really rewarding position to have in a rewarding career.
That's a fascinating program, and it creates about a gazillion questions, and I don't have time to do a gazillion, so I have to pare it down to a couple. I understand and absolutely support. Not only are we going to do we need car mechanics, we need good carpenters and plumbers and electricians and roofers and on and on and on. And while I absolutely agree with you, we've got to find a way to engage with young people to get involved. We have right now in this country, according to the Bureau of Labor Affairs, somewhere in the neighborhood of 94 million people out of the workforce. And they're not all 65 years of age. We have a lot of people probably in their 40s or 50s who got laid off, have not been able to find work. And so part of the gap of the need of the 8% that you talked about earlier in the program can clearly come from people who are in their 40s or 50s who can still give an employer many, many years of service and still have an opportunity, if they like what they're doing, to become their own franchisee, you know, over time and try and set up their own business. So there is a huge number of people who have some skills, maybe not automotive skills, but have some work experience and skills that are not being cultivated because of the desire perhaps maybe to want to have younger people. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have younger people. I'm just saying, are you encouraging people to look at franchisees, to look at those people who've been who've lost their jobs and have to move on to try and do something else as also another possible source of employees?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is not about, you know, just focusing on the younger people. Yes, we want to have the younger generation look at this as an opportunity because of the fact that there's such a low amount coming into it. But you have those that are the ages of 34 to 54 that, you know, you're right, that are at a point where they're either underemployed or unemployed, that can actually look at another trade. And it's not just the automotive repair industry. It, as you said, there's going to be a need for plumbers, electricians, welders, and there is, you know, the ability to look at scholarships. In fact, again, going back to Tech Force Foundation, is a nonprofit, and their focus is on the transportation industry, all the way from trains, planes, automobiles to ships, and anything within the trades area along that aspect. They have scholarships and grants they're going to be offering out. They have several large companies and mid-size and small companies that are sponsoring and supporting them because they know their initiative is a great initiative. And this isn't just about the younger generation. This is about all of those that are able to be out in the workforce to be able to look at another opportunity.
Let me, we've got just a couple of minutes left. Let me go on staying in the same church, but a different pew. I've worked over my career with a lot of employment psychologists, psychiatrists, and what they tell me is that when a person loses their job, there is a point in the amount of time that it takes them to find a job, if they find them a job, where the depression of a low self-esteem, low self-worth prohibits that person from wanting to get up and go look for a job. And so they become so depressed that they don't think anybody wants them or needs them or can use them. And so they stop looking and they give up. Mm-hmm. And when I see 93 million people out of the workforce in this country today, it seems to me that the opportunities that you have in your sector alone, along with the other ones, other trades that we talked about, we've got to do a better job of reaching out to those people who have some work experience, some work skill, to say, you know, it's important for you to take a look at this opportunity. And I just think there's a huge resource there of people that will want to get a paycheck that they earned as opposed to a paycheck from the government. So if people want to get involved with this foundation, let's tell them again how to do that.
Well, so it's called techforcefoundation.org. And they are just launching the last couple of months, and we're looking at getting involved and becoming one of their lower sponsors. And we have put out our internship program, and it's of any age. And if you have skill, then you want to enhance your skill, that would be the internship program B. If you're wanting to get some skills, and it's not just in repair and maintenance technicians, it's also managers, the people that are salesmen or managers, they handle production aspects. Those are all jobs that we could train people on. We have free training courses that we do for our franchisees. They send their managers and salespeople to us all the time. We also are just launching it's called Moran University, which is an online training course for our franchisees, team members. So, those that are really, in a point where they're not sure what they're to do and they really have given up, there are opportunities out there. It's just, I guess it becomes part of how do we get that message out to them and how do they find out about us, and then also how do we inspire them to look to us.
Barbara,
there is a great need.
Yes, and I think what you've, at least from my standpoint, and I think Don would agree with me, off the air, if you can give us some contact information to that group, I think we'd love to have them on the air and help promote what they do to see if we can't put some more people back to work. Are we out of time, Don?
Oh, very definitely, but it's been well worth the time. We've been talking with Barb Morgan of Moran Goodridge. It's the Moran Brands, and it's been fascinating, and she has to come back towards the end of the year and talk more. Don't you agree, Dan?
Absolutely. Barbara, thank you. It was a great interview, and good luck, and let's see if we can't put some people to work.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. Thank you for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Dan Perkins here for Recalculating for Small Business with your tip of the day. Should you belong to a local marketing network? One area of potential business is other small business owners through marketing networks. These groups usually meet once or twice a month for lunch and discussions. Sometimes the group will invite a guest speaker to talk about how they are building their brand. People in different businesses generally go and make up these groups. If you have a computer problem, perhaps one of the members of your group can fix your problem, or at least tell you about somebody they've used to fix their problems. Sometimes members of your group can use your product or services. So here's your Recalculating for Small Business tip of the day. Reach out and ask your fellow business friends if they belong to a marketing group. And if they do, tell them you'd like to go. Shop around and find a group or two that you like. You'll make new friends and maybe find new customers. This is Dan Perkins with your Recalculating Small Business tip of the day.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
Life. It's made up of the simple day-to-day moments that keep us all running on full. Full of joy, passion, and restlessness. It's singing full on to your car radio with the windows wide open. It's a whole bunch of early morning rush hours and a few late night runs for Rocky Road. It's full of pit stops and drive-thrus. It's life, and we live it between fill-ups at Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
Thank you for being with us today. From Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins.
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's episode was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, to contact us, to listen to past shows, and see special offers. Until next time, remember, If you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success. Recalculating, a program designed to help you be successful.